story of the woman of Samaria is known to us pretty well, I think. If it's not, we want to look at that together today. You can imagine a woman getting up to start her day. She's a Samaritan. She's from Samaria. She gets up to go and get water. Raise your hand if you ever went to a well to draw water. You have? Yeah, what was that like? Difficult, yeah. It's different, right? You don't turn this faucet on, or you buy some water and pour it out of a bottle or something like that. And we're so used to that in those days, you know, and in many places in the world, actually today, there are people that have to go to a well to get water, right? I mean, I can think of many missionaries who have gone and called for help from churches to go and have water wells built so that they even have water, you know? So water is a commodity that we have so easily here in our own lives, and so it helps us to appreciate people that don't have water when we hear stories like this one. And so she went there, and she also went at a particular part of the day that was very, very hot. It was known to be at that hour very, very hot. And so water was something that people needed, but she also went at a time when she would have been there alone. And so you can imagine how she felt when she went there and was not only, you know, going to be alone, but she saw a man at the well sitting there, and it happened to be Jesus. And Jesus went there at this time of day because he was away from his disciples, and they're actually headed towards Jerusalem, but they were going to through Samaria, and we really believe that he had the intention of meeting her there. Anyway, he went there, and he was looking for water because it was very hot, and he was resting there. But he had nothing to draw the water with. His disciples had gone into town to buy things, and they probably had something with them that he could have used, but he didn't have anything with him. And so this story is really developing with this kind of a scenario. Now, we need to also understand what is going on between the Samaritans and the Jews to fully appreciate this story as well. And I want to read you something that that is going to help us be able to understand that a little bit better. It says in my Bible, there's a note that says this: through Samaria was the usual route taken by travelers from Judea to Galilee. However, although the Old Testament does not teach this, some Jews thought the Samaritans were unclean. To avoid defilement, they bypassed Samaria by crossing the Jordan and traveling on the east side of the river. And the Samaritans were partly Jewish and partly Gentile, and were disdained by both Jews and Gentiles. 2 Kings 17:24-31 describes how the king of Assyria brought foreign people to settle in Samaria after he defeated it in 722 BC. Over time, they intermarried with Jews who remained in the area. The Samaritans had their own version of the Pentateuch, their own temple on Mount Gerizim, and their own version of Israelite history. Right? Tensions often ran high between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so that's an understatement. I think I misspoke before. Jesus was actually on the way to Galilee. And so he stopped in Samaria. And so what we have here are two people who are known as being enemies meeting each other at the well by themselves. And that is the story that we're going to be learning from today and what God wants us to learn from today. It's also a man and a woman. The men, especially people like Jesus, of the upbringing that he had, he would never speak to a woman like that. He would just never do it. And here he is meeting her at the well. And so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied from as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And so Jesus is coming to this well that is known as being Jacob's well. They believe that it was probably maybe not something necessarily that Jacob made, but it was in the area where Jacob was. Okay, and so he was named for this well there. It's more than that for us here. Jacob is a very important figure in the Bible in the Old Testament, right? And so what John is doing in telling this story is also helping us to appreciate that something is going to happen, something new. There's this older place, right, with the history of Jacob and the father of all the sons who eventually represented the tribes of Israel. That something is being set up here for us in this story so that we can learn from it about who Jesus is and what he means for this woman and also for her people, and then also for us, right? So it's something is going to be changed here. The new is coming in. The old is not, is passing away, and Jesus is greater than Jacob. And so that is important for us to see as we get into the story here. So last week I was talking about Elijah and how we want to not only know the history of someone and get to know a person who is a prophet in the Bible or people in the Bible, but we also want to know who they are. What is their story? Who are they as people? We learned that Elijah had emotions. He had feelings. He had, you know, he was also not just a prophet of God. He was an imperfect sinner. He was someone who had shortcomings, right? He had different things going on in his life that we don't just think of him as being this great prophet who was perfect and he stood there and told people how they should live and that was the end. We learned that he was a person who suffered in his heart and that he needed God to come in and to show him what compassion was truly about. And so he learned about what he needed to know from God through God touching him and coming to him in a small voice and speaking to him, meeting him where he was so that he could learn the things that God wanted him to know, right? And it's the same thing for us. God comes to us, not merely just in saying, you're my creation, now live and do what I say. He wants to know who we are. He does know who we are, and he wants us to know him, right? So there's a lot going on in this story as well. And it's a woman this time. You know, it's not a prophet, Elijah. It's not someone like that, but it's a simple woman from Samaria who we find out is not so simple. You know, she has a lot going on in her life. She has a lot of knowledge. She has a lot of history that she's drawing upon as she talks to Jesus, and that all comes out. And so we want to take a look at this story to see what it was that Jesus was teaching to her, right? For her especially, God coming into her life in a real way so that she would grow and also that his kingdom would grow. So a woman from Samaria came to draw water, right? She's taking water at that time. She's going to be using it for daily needs. And Jesus speaks to her first, give me a drink. So on a very, very, very simple level, Jesus asks her for practicality. I'm thirsty. It's hot. I'm weary from my traveling. Can you give me something to drink? Right? But that also sets up an even greater lesson about water and what he's going to teach her about living water coming up. Right? And so this whole idea is so beautifully presented here by Jesus and told by John so that we can get into the deeper meanings of the Bible for us. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, so he was there by himself, right? The Samaritan woman says to him, how is it? Astounded. She must have been astounded. First of all, he's speaking to her. And then she says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Right? So that's her question. It's not like, okay, I'll get you some water. She says, how is it that you are speaking to me? This is just like beyond my capability to take it in. No men speak to us, especially not Jews. Right? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. It says right here, right? They had nothing to do with them. And here he goes and he has something to do with one. Okay? So Jesus answers her. If you knew the gift of God, and this, I love the way that Betty was bringing this out in her reading. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So Jesus takes the opportunity to talk to her on a different level. Right? So all of a sudden it's not just about the fact that he is speaking to her. But he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. Living water. So you see the development from the water in the well, from the old water, from the old well, this Jacob and the history there, and it's coming into Jesus' terms now, right? And it's not just Jesus' terms, it's actually his terms from the beginning of the Bible, but he's bringing out to this woman. And so what is the gift of God? This is very important in this verse. And if you guys have Bibles and you want to follow along, you can underline these things. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink. If you knew who I was, then you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. And so he begins there. The gift of God was explained in this way by a man named Harrison. I really like what he has to say about this story. He says that it's living water. The gift is living water, the fountain of divine life, which waters the paradise of every renewed soul. That is the living water. The gift of God. The gift of God is living water, the fountain of the divine life, which waters the paradise of every renewed soul. So when we are renewed in Christ, we are watered in this paradise that is God's. It brings us into this whole new level of water and where it's coming from, this new well of living water that is inside of us. Okay? So we each have that as believers in Jesus Christ, that this living water is the gift of God. And the woman said to him, "Sir," she begins calling him sir, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the water well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" So you have to understand, she's still at this kind of a point of the old, and she's thinking in terms of physical water. I'm here at the well. This guy is starting to talk to me about the gift of God and the living water, and if I had asked him, you know, these kind of things, then he would have given me the gift of God, you know, these kind of things. And so she's trying to keep up, right? This is like, I didn't expect this when I went to the well today, okay? I expected to go like I do every day and get water for my family and all of our needs and go back home and just go on with my life. But God comes into her life.
Amen.
He meets her there, right? And that is important for us to remember, okay? So she's treading water here, right? And she says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" So here's Jacob again, right? I'm used to Jacob. He's the one that I relate to. He's the one that I remember as being important. Are you greater than our father Jacob? That's kind of an interesting question, right? Knowing what we know now. Are you greater? Yes, he is. Right? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. So it's this whole history of this well has this connection to us in this physical way. And this great, you know, this man of God, Jacob, is the one we relate to in our beliefs here. And so that's where she is. And she's still approaching it that way, right? You have nothing to draw water with, and the water well is deep, you know. What are you talking about with this living water? Where is it, in here? Or what are we saying? And so Jesus continues to teach her. He said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water, the water in this well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me the water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And so she's still thinking about, okay, this sounds great. I want this kind of water because I really don't want to come here every day and have to take water out of this well and go back home with it, right? So she's still there to a certain extent, but she is really quite perceptive in talking about what Jesus is talking about here and saying, "I want this water. This is something that sounds good for me." And so she's going along with him in that way. Let me read you something quite beautiful that was written again by a man named Everett Harrison in regards to understanding what this means, this wellspring that is inside of us. This is what he said. The Christian life is like a lake that continues to pour forth its refreshing waters by an outlet, yet has no visible inlet to maintain its flow. Its secret lying far below the surface in the hidden spring, which bubbles forth its never-ceasing supply. So a lake, you can see it, it has ways of letting the water go out from itself. But deep down, right, the secret is lying far below the surface in a hidden spring in the earth, which bubbles forth its never-ceasing supply. Did you ever think of your life as being that way? That your life in Christ Jesus is like a lake that has this water, a body of water, and you're pouring water out from yourself through these outlets, right? But the source of all of that is the wellspring that is found through Jesus Christ and the gift of God. And that is an everlasting, it is a never-ending supply of this living water that comes into us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He's the source. of this wellspring of water that comes into our lives. And so this is a great encouragement for us, for those of us who are feeling that life is overcoming us and feeling like we can't go on. It's hard, completely false statement. There is, when we know Jesus Christ, we are not dry. We are not arid. There is no aridity or whatever you call it in us at all. It is all water. Water coming not from our own strength, not from our own abilities, not from the things that we seek in this world. It is from the Holy Spirit that is this wellspring of this powerful water that comes through Jesus Christ. And he's there talking to this woman, teaching this woman who is an enemy of the Jews and saying, now there is going to be something greater in your life that is going to not only change your life, but it is going to take, it is going to come into the lives that you know so that all the people that you are associated with will know the true God, and you will be saved and you will be brought together with the Jews. You'll be one. There won't be any more of this you and I. You do your thing, I do my thing. No, it is going to be coming into her life in this way. So think of that again, this lake that we are. That's the life of a Christian that has this wellspring within it that never stops flowing. She says, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. So Jesus, what does he say? He takes it to the next level. Jesus says to her, go and call your husband and come here. So we're thinking, okay, so he's bringing this now into her personal life, right? First, I'm telling you about this personal job that you do of drawing water and the things that are happening there. And now I'm taking it to the next step so that I can get further into your life and show you really truly who I am and what this is all about. Go and get your husband. And she says to him, I have no husband. And so Jesus says, you're right. When you say that I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you say is true. So he takes her to this place about her personal life, and he draws out this truth to show her that he really truly knows her. This is not just somebody who's coming and philosophizing about water at the well and saying these things to her about, I know what living water is, and trying to give her these images so that she can just sort of, you know, feel like, oh, now I have a new philosophy so I can talk about water. And it sounds really, really flashy. And there are things like that that exist in the world that people talk in very, very esoteric kind of terms to try to, you know, say that life is this way. But Jesus is not into that because he knows what is necessary in our lives. There has to be more. And he has to be a part of it, right? So it's not just a philosophy. It's not just a belief in these kind of things. It is a belief in the one true God, right? And so he talks about her life, and he says that you've had five husbands, right? We don't know much about that. We don't find out what happened there. Perhaps her husbands died, you know, one after another, and she remarried, or maybe she has some that did and some that didn't, and that she is having some things in her life that need attention, right? And she has sinned, or maybe at least the fact that he says you have one now, but he's not your husband, but you have someone in your life. And that he's bringing that out in her life now to bring that into the forefront. But the bottom line, whatever is happening with her in that story, he is letting her know, I know you. I didn't even meet you before. I know you. And there's a reason for that. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Must be something very special about you for you to know me that well. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so he is telling her that there is a difference between you and me. Right, right now, the Samaritans had their own temple. They were going there. The Jews had the temple in Jerusalem. And so he's distinguishing between those two things. And what he's saying is that there's a time coming, and the time is now, where that barrier is going to be erased, because it is only belief in the one Messiah that is going to do that. It is a belief in that one. And God does not desire for people to just be separated in this way. And so now I've come to tell you that you have to worship without that kind of a barrier, without that separation between the two, of the hatred between all of you. And there's only one place to come together, and that's the one that God has chosen, which is through the Jews, but it's not only for the Jews. Right? And so he's telling her, as a Samaritan woman, yes, the Jews were and are God's chosen people, but the time has come now for all people to be the chosen people. And so imagine what she's thinking like after all these years of hearing that there is all this hatred and bitterness between Jewish people and Samaritans, and that they look down upon the Samaritans. And here is a Jew who comes to them and says, no longer. It's going to be love between us, because we have to worship God in truth and in spirit. It's not through our different ways or cultures or getting water from a well or drawing water from a well that was made by a man. I'm talking about the water that is from God, the true water, the spiritual water that gives you eternal life, and that has to be within you. It's no longer these physical things. And I've come so that there wouldn't be any separation between people and God, or people between each other. I have come to bring them together. The woman says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. I'm the one. I'm the one that you have been hearing about. And I didn't come to a big town and blow, you know, a trumpet and say, here I am. I came to this well where you are, at this Jacob's well, to show you that the old is past and the new has come. And this living water is for all people. Right? And I'm the one. I'm the one that you heard about. And I'm standing here talking to you, a woman whose life was not easy, a woman whose personal life looks like it was really filled with a lot of challenges and dismay, right? Broken relationships, or at least the loss of a husband, you know, things like that that were going on that were affecting people in their lives. And I have come into your life today to bring you hope, to encourage you, to tell you that life is not just merely going around and doing a bunch of work and drawing water and things like that. And she's responding to this. And what does she do? She left her water jar, the symbol, the thing, the very thing that she came to do that day. She leaves it away, leaves it behind, right? And she runs back to tell the people that she has met the Messiah. The water is no longer necessary. Just as it was not necessary for Jesus to go into town with the people, with his disciples there to eat, he had work to do. He went to this well to meet the woman, to tell her the deeper truths of life, right? And so this is just amazing in so many aspects, and talking about how God is doing away with prejudice. He's doing away with all the hatred between people. He's doing away with the looking down of men towards women, right? He's doing away with all the Pharisaical teachings that would look down on having to do with sinners. Don't be around sinners, but they themselves were sinners, right?
Yes.
So Jesus is coming into this situation and saying, I don't care about what happened in all of your life. I'm here now. You need me. Receive what I have to give you. Is that the way we act? Right? We have so much to learn from this. When we talk with people, we stand upon what we think is right. And so in the process, we are losing contact with people. We're losing contact in relationships, the things that really matter in life. Because we're so filled up with the old, the legalism, the things of the past, you know, all these things that we say, but yeah, but I know that I'm right. No, You have to get to know people. Just like Marissa was saying, you don't know what's going on in a person's life until you get to know them. And you have to, you can't just go and tell someone you need to believe in Jesus Christ, right? You certainly can do that, but the more effective way is the way Jesus is teaching us, because he's Jesus. He's the one that needs to be listened to. And what is his method? To go up to someone and start to respect them and to talk with them when they have been outcast and they're looked down upon by other men. When they've been treated with racism and with prejudice and turning them away. God is the one that changes people, not we. There isn't anything that we can possibly say if we have a wrong attitude within us towards people. We don't just go to the safe ones so that we can be on ground where we don't have to worry about the feelings of not being, you know, coming from the same place in life. Right? That isn't what Jesus did. He went to the one, the strongest case, right, of division and prejudice that existed in his day, and he broke it by going to people and saying, you matter. And you know what? I hear all through society that people look down on the way that you are and that I shouldn't have anything to do with you. I don't care. Because that's not who a Christian is. A Christian is someone like a lake who has this body of water that is ready to be poured out, and the source of all that water is a wellspring that is deep within inside of us that is the gift of God. That's the amazing thing about this, that he is encouraging her in every aspect of her life. And she runs back home in joy to tell people, could it be that I have met this Christ, me, this woman at the well? Can you imagine what they were thinking? A Jew talked to you? The Messiah talked to you, a Jew, you know, and a Samaritan woman. He spoke to a woman, and, you know, we're not perfect, but your life, you know, hasn't exactly been... Right? So this woman is an amazing opportunity for us to learn how encouraging God is for us. I was reading an excellent article, and it's by Lynn Coick. It's pretty amazing, actually. It's called The Real Woman at the Well. And she had somebody in her life who had gone through something. You know, they were looked down upon. And she, I think it was while she was a missionary, and it was in a place like not here. It was in Kenya. Right? But she learned through the example of this woman that she met in Kenya, who had all these different kind of problems, to see a similar case of someone just like the woman, the Samaritan woman, you know, to have that kind of a thing happening. Right? So there are things that happen in our own lives, but there's another story that I read where a person was abused. A woman was abused, and she read this story, and she felt like she could relate to someone. And that's why it's important for us to share the word of God, so that people see that you're not the only one, and God has made changes in people and has brought love into a woman's life who was abused and hurt and feeling like there's no hope. And that's what the Bible does. But it helped me. Has it helped you? To see that I mean, when I was growing up, I was just so filled with anger and hate and feeling all so screwed up. I just didn't know what to do with my life. And Jesus was the only hope I had.
Amen. Yeah.
And he still is.
Yeah. Me too.
Right? I mean, that's really, so I can relate to her too, even though it's a woman at the well, but I can relate to the hurt and the things that Jesus came into her life to change. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It isn't because I was chosen by God and I can get up and I can do these things because I know that, you know, the Bible so well. It's because he has come into my life and he's told me that there's living water and it's a free gift. It's here for the taking and I took it. But it's not just because of that. It's because I know if I don't have him, I'm going to die. And I know myself the way I was before I knew him. And that's what this is all about. God comes into our lives and he knows us. For those who are afraid of that, let this story change your attitude to see that it is not a God who comes in and says evil and wicked, and you've done these things, and there's no hope. He comes in, and he asks questions that are systematically building up a trust between us and him, and showing us that he is trustworthy, he is faithful, and he is the answer. And that's what this story is about. So let me read you just one thing in conclusion here. She goes home, she tells all the people, right? The woman goes and she tells all the people there, and then many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. What have we been talking about? Sharing the gospel. Getting a testimony, like you were saying today in the message. It's going and sharing your life with other people. What has Jesus done in your life? Right? And these people believed, many, because of what she said. A woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. He knows me. It doesn't sound like she's upset with that, right? That she knows, it was very uncomfortable. It was a very, it was so awkward. You know, I was there and he had this way of talking to her to reassure her that he was going to give her life that was meaningful. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, get to know them, share what he knows about them, and he stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. So this woman, who did not know Jesus and did not know anything about him, right? I mean, she knew about a Messiah, but she didn't really, she believed in the concept of God, met him, saw for herself that he's real and the things that he's offering are true. And he talked to her in a way that spoke to her heart. And then she went and told others and they listened to it. And many believed based on her testimony, but others met with him for 2 days, and he stayed with them, and then they said, now it's not just because of what she told us, or the woman told us, it's because we know for ourselves, because we saw him. And that's what it comes down to. Nobody can become a Christian because I told them to be. You have to become a Christian because you have seen it, you've tasted it, you've drunk the water of living life. Right? And that's what happened here. And so we go and tell people this. So listen to this message from Lynn Coick at the end of her article about the woman at the well. In giving a voice to the Samaritan woman, John encourages us to tell others about our encounters with the Savior. And may those who hear our story by God's grace respond like the townspeople, believing because of our testimony. Brothers and sisters, today or last night when I was sending out the invite to come to worship today, I said, please invite one person that you know, because it could just be that your invitation is the moment that God has been waiting for, and those people have been waiting for, to get to know Jesus Christ, so that their lives will no longer be living in a well of water that's found in a well from the old, but it would be through the new living water that is the gift of God found in Jesus. Amen? We need to make this movement in our church if we're going to grow. We need to believe that it's important that our testimony is our work that God has given to us. It's not just to keep for ourselves. And we need to just simply invite. So it could be just as easy as saying, would you like to go to church with me? Okay, so let's bring that before the Lord as we sing the response of Him today together and pray for God to move and bring us together and see the growth that our witnessing will bring in the harvest.